You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I messed up.
Welcome to Speak. I'm Joy Taylor. Emmanuel Acho is off today, but we're going to keep it rolling with Super Bowl champ James Jones.
What's cracking?
What's up? Fox NFL analyst TJ Houshmandzadeh. Welcome,
TJ. Who's with the good hair?
There it is.
And Eagles all-time leading rusher and two-time Super Bowl champion.
That is
all-decade team.
That is true.
And Panther.
I like the all-decade. I like that.
I had a little extra for today. Let's get to some breaking news on one of the all-time greats, Los Angeles Rams star defensive tackle Aaron Donald is calling it a career at 32 years old. He'll go down as one of the most dominant defensive players in NFL history. Maybe someone thinks he's the best defensive player in NFL history. Retiring as a Super Bowl champion with 111 sacks, Donald is only the third player in NFL history to be named Defensive Player of the Year three times.
One of those trees.
So Shady from Pittsburgh.
That's right. I got a chance to talk to my brother today, man.
Yep, this morning, tell us about it. Let's give Aaron some love on his retirement. What's your reaction?
Well, I want to give a huge shout out to AD. You know, we typically always talk about when a great player retires, we call him a legend.
Yeah.
Well, today we really can say that a legend has retired today. And when I say legend, I'm not just speaking on the 10 straight Pro Bowls or the 8 first team All Pros or the 3-time deepest player of the year, right? Because those are all legendary. But when about this legend, how did you become legendary? You look at his career. Let's take you back. He's from Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. He goes to the University of Pittsburgh, and he didn't have a lot of scholarships. He goes there, undersized, underrated, goes first round, goes to the St. Louis Rams. Not really a good team, goes first round, balls out there, right? But then he goes to the Los Angeles Rams, brings him a Super Bowl. You look at his past, where he comes from. He goes back to Pittsburgh, the University of Pittsburgh, and he gives these guys, donates $1 million so that the young guys can develop their skills, can be better in their academics, right? Then you look at where he is today, right? And as I look at Aaron Donald as the best player to ever play this game as far as the defense, he's doing things off the field and on the field. And that's why I look at him as legendary. So today we can honestly say that a legend has retired. Congratulations on a nice retirement. Now he's a developer, and I will see you building projects together in Pittsburgh.
We love to hear that. Said. Yeah, congrats to Aaron Donald. Obviously, I'm also born and raised in Pittsburgh. I know the area he grew up in very well. It's about 5 minutes from where I grew up, and the University of Pittsburgh as well, and just an incredible talent. Somebody that truly influenced the game at his position in a unique way. For him to have the numbers that he has at his position is remarkable. On top of the fact that anytime that you were playing against them, you had to game plan for him. You had to be ready for him. And even though you knew you had to be ready for him, he was still going to give you work every single time. He played an incredibly important role in them winning that Super Bowl. And I'm so happy that he does have that ring as well. A legend with a ring with, you mentioned all the accolades. 7 straight first team All Pros. Mm. 7 straight first-team All-Pros, 10-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champ, Defensive Player of the Year 3 times. He's just somebody that is obviously walking into the Hall of Fame as soon as he is eligible, but really an incredible career. It's been a pleasure to watch him grow as a player, as a legend on and off the field, as Shady mentions, and it's just a really, really special day. It's been incredible to watch him play.
It surprised me. It really did, because you look and you say, free agency just started. He didn't announce it prior to free agency. Did the Rams know about this? Like, had they known, would they have gone out and tried to sign other people? But Aaron Donald retires is legitimately an argument to say he was the greatest defensive player ever.
No doubt.
Like, to have that, like, to be undersized, to go to college and you're not a 4 or 5-star recruit, you got to pretty much bust your ass to get where you are. You got to work extremely hard to be that. And then he's double and triple teamed all the time. And
exactly.
Just look at the most recent Super Bowl that the Rams won. He's the one that applied pressure to Joe Burrow. Yep. Ja'Marr Chase was open for a touchdown that would have won the game for the Bengals. Aaron Donald put a stop to that. And so I've argued with people. He's by far and away the best defensive player that I've seen.
Easy.
And so now if you want, it would, some people say Reggie White. Some people may say Lawrence Taylor.
But
Aaron Donald, if you think about his impact on the game of football, guards weren't even getting paid a lot of money. And then Aaron Donald started terrorizing people in the middle of that offense.
Good point.
Putting pressure up the middle of the field on a quarterback. And so now you see the Zach Martins getting this. You start seeing guards get paid so much money. Aaron Donald did that. Honestly, they probably owe him a little bit of their money, the commission they was giving the agents. Because he's the one that changed the way teams started paying the interior offensive line. And so he's one of the best linemen, best defensive players to ever play. Wish him nothing but the best. The players in the league, specifically the Brock Purdy's, the Kyler Murray's, the Geno Smith's, they like, thank God.
For sure, this is a good day for them. You're absolutely right. And a big part of the reason why, well, obviously his incredible play, but something that's always brought up with Lawrence Taylor being one of the most influential and best defensive players is getting the left tackle paid. So what you're mentioning about what Aaron Donald and his influence on offensive linemen getting paid is a great point, because that always gets brought up with LT. But James, talk to us a little bit about the impact that Aaron Donald had on the league.
No, I agree with TJ. With my own two eyes, he's the best defensive player that I've ever seen. And I played with some great ones. The Charles Woodson, you know, you had a chance to see J.J. Watt play and a lot of great defenders play. But Aaron Donald was just different. And I don't care how people want to explain it, the dude was just different. I mean, double teams, triple teams, it does not matter. The running back trying to help, he is still creating chaos for these quarterbacks. And I didn't get to watch Lawrence Taylor play. I know people always want to argue Lawrence Taylor. You know, I didn't get to watch Reggie White play. But with my own two eyes, Aaron Donald is the greatest defensive player to lace these cleats up. It just was impressive to watch. And not too many people could do what Aaron Donald did. And I'm not talking about his own stats. Every single person that played on Aaron Donald's defense, whether you was a corner, a linebacker on the other side of a defensive lineman, he got you paid because of the attention that he got. If you were a defensive lineman, you are getting one-on-one every single time. If you are a corner in Jalen Ramsey, whoever the corners may be, you know the ball coming out in 2 seconds because Aaron Donald is going to be back there. So it changes the way you play. Linebacker-wise, you know, I ain't never going to have no guard getting up to me on this linebacker because they got to deal with 99 in front of them. So I'm going to have 100 and some tackles behind Aaron Donald. He got so many people paid strictly because how dominant he was on the football field. Congratulations. You're running into the Hall of Fame, first ballot. You ain't got to be one of those ones that shocked. You got to knock on the door. You know what's coming 5 years after he is done. It was impressive to watch.
And the thing with AD is like, if you see him, I mean, he ain't super big, though, right? Most D-tackles, they got the stomachs out. They got the no necks, right? Big cheeks. You like, yo, he must play for somebody. Yeah. You see AD in the summertime, he got his little cut shirt on. You gonna say, man, bro, work out, right? He might be a little model, you know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
That's the beauty of Aaron Donald is that you talk about, like, chip on shoulders. We say chip on shoulders for guys like Baker Mayfield was the first pick in the draft, which is in the Heisman winner. So that's it's awkward. But a guy like AD, I didn't have no scholarships like that. Man. I went to Pittsburgh, right? And I dominated there. Didn't get a first rounder. I remember him playing against him, and he's with the St. Louis Rams. I was the Eagles. And pick guy. So, you know, we always want to look after each other. I'm like, yo, dang, he looked small out there. We couldn't block him, right? Then as you see, as time progresses, you see him gets better and better. Same size, maybe a little bit more cut, more abs. He was so dominant. I remember a game when I went to Bills and we played the Rams in L.A. We won the game. I had about a 165. You know. Anyway, and the whole game plan, right, for the most part was like, we're going to watch AD. And it wasn't enough. I remember going back to the coach, like, hey, I know we're emphasizing Aaron Donald, but we're not emphasizing enough.
Yeah.
This dude will wreck the whole game.
Dang.
They didn't listen. Mm-hmm. The first half, he was getting sacks, tackles for loss. And I'm his boy, so instead of, like, slamming me down, he might just throw me down, right? We get to halftime, you know, and at the time, I could be a little bit more vocal. Mm-hmm. Hey, coach, I told you we need to do this and that, get Aaron Donald. Yeah. The second half, everything, we slide to him, we double him, I'm chipping him, yeah. And that's how we won the game. But he was that disruptive that you had to do all that. Because if you didn't, right, the guy that's undersized, right, they had no scholarships, he would wreck the whole NFL game, and that's what he did.
And it's crazy, too, because even when we all went this past season to the Raiders practice, I was over there with the Raiders offensive coaches, and I'm like, why ain't got 99 in there? And they were like, well, we asked him to keep him up out of there because
he will wreck his practice. Listen, bro, if you want to get a sweat in the day, if you want to wear out the day, please don't let 99 play.
This thing. So we say, hey, can you really limit to this dude's rest? Give him a kind of a rest day because we're trying to get some type of work.
Trying to get some work in.
No doubt.
Well, congrats, Aaron. That's going to be an incredible class with Jason Kelce and Aaron Donald in 5 years, both going in together. Moving on to another Pitt alumni. Reports are saying that the Steelers are trading former Pitt Panther Kenny Pickett to the Eagles for a pick swap in the 2024 NFL Draft. Pickett ends his Steelers time with 13 passing touchdowns and 13 interceptions in 24 games. So the Eagles were in the market for a backup quarterback after Marcus Mariota signed with Washington. The quarterback market continues to move around. So we talked about an all-time great Pitt Panther. Although Kenny Pickett will be remembered for his.
For sure. Kenny Pickett was that guy in Pitt.
Yeah,
I love him over there.
Yeah, but we're in the pros now, so we're going to talk a little bit about this. But he did go to your Eagles, Shady. So what are your thoughts on the Eagles trading?
Well, first of all, welcome to the Bird Nest. We're happy to have you.
Happy to
the other side of the state.
And I think that he's a type of player that can develop, super smart, intelligent. He hasn't had the beginning that he would like or I would like, you know, but that happens. You know, I've seen players do that all the time. Geno Smith, I mean, God, my God. We seen how he played in the beginning, and then look where he is now. So yeah. I never write anybody off. And I will say this. Being a backup, right, to a good quarterback, to a good team that's ran a certain way, a franchise, you can learn something. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of smart guys in Philadelphia with the coaching staff, and I think that Kenny Pickett will be a good backup. I was hoping that Justin Fields, right, would be our backup. I think the days of him starting is over.
Ooh,
but
Justin Fields.
I mean, you know, it makes sense. Running quarterback style, yeah. Right? Not starting, yeah. Not pressure, just backup. But to keep him with Kenny Pickett, I think that he'll be all right. I just think that he has a lot of talent around him, and if anything ever goes wrong with Jalen Hurts, I think Kenny Pickett can do a solid enough job, right, where you don't have to do everything. I think in Pittsburgh, he had to do everything, right, especially on offense. I mean, I think a young wide receiver group that's full of talent but still young and inconsistent. I think – no, I'm saying they're young guys, right? And I also think about the running backs. Kind of up and down year for Najee Harris. You know, so I think the Eagles would be a lot different.
There's a lot going on here.
Yes.
I do think that this is a better move for the Eagles than Justin Fields, although I do think that Justin Fields would have been a better fit as a backup for Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. I think he would have brought too much noise. It would have made me nervous because there were already some doubts about really Jalen Hurts, valid or not. Yeah. And Justin Fields has a bit of a bigger name than Kenny Pickett. So I think the pressure. I mean, you know Philadelphia. You know how to get.
I mean, but like, he would came to Philadelphia.
Respect.
But if he came to Philadelphia, it won't be like he's like an answer. I mean, because we know his resume.
But if Jalen struggles, I'm talking about.
I'm saying if Jalen struggled, right, I don't think that everybody in Philadelphia like, yo, we need Justin Fields to play because we've seen his resume. He don't really win. He's not really like.
But what if he does get in there doing that?
But that's what I'm saying. I can talk about what we've seen. And what we've seen is that he plays bad through the whole year. And at the end of the year, he has some good moments. The next year, bad year, good moments at the end. That's what we always see. Yeah, so I think that at the talent part, yeah, he has some talent. But as far as winning and being like an efficient quarterback in this league, we've never seen that yet.
No one's more popular than the backup quarterback. Yeah. But I do think that Kenny Pickett doesn't bring that kind of pressure.
You're right. And he's quiet.
It's not the same profile. So I do like it as a move for the Eagles for backup quarterback. I say it all the time. Backup quarterbacks are extremely valuable, so I don't even care about the picks. You need to have depth at that position. We see it year in and year out. Teams that don't value that, their seasons completely fall apart. Or we got to give Coach of the Year away because you win with 15 different quarterbacks. So I like that move. I do think it's interesting on Pittsburgh's side of it as well, though, because Russ the starter now.
Yeah.
There was a bit of a conversation of, are they going to make Russ earn the starting position, even though we all just assumed that he was going to start. This shows you that they're moving forward, and obviously Russ is on a one-year deal, so either they're going to bring in somebody else to develop or they feel like Russ could be the long-term solution there. But, James, what do you think about this move?
You know what? This says one thing to me. The Pittsburgh Steelers did not think Kenny Pickett is a good quarterback. This dude was a first-round pick 2 years in being a first-round pick, And obviously 13 touchdown passes, 13 interceptions, and we know that, you know, he missed a lot of throws. He was not the answer at the quarterback spot. That's why all of us up here agreed that they need to do whatever they need to do to go get Russell Wilson, because you're not going to be able to compete for us for a championship. But this shocked me to see him get traded. And after hearing it might be a quarterback controversy, it might be a quarterback competition in camp and all that, to just see them ship him off, to me, it lets me know that they didn't value this dude, you know, like that at the quarterback spot. In Philadelphia, I love it, right? I don't think we get the Aaron Rodgers that we got if he didn't sit behind Brett. I don't think we get the Jordan Love we got if he didn't sit behind Aaron Rodgers. So I'm with some of these young guys that were high draft picks sitting back, watching the good, the bad, seeing these blitzes come at you, being able to pick it up, seeing the quarterback not pick it up, where to go with the football. I think all that stuff is going to benefit him. So I think it's a good fit for him to go sit behind Jalen Hurts and learn and get better. But I don't think Kenny Pickett in this league is a starting quarterback.
Teach?
The Steelers just gave him away. It's either two things. He can't play or they don't like his attitude. Because when Mason Rudolph was named a starter at the end of the season, it was reports, Kenny Pickett don't want to dress. He's unhappy. And then now with Russell Wilson, I'm sure he's probably told, you're not going to be the starter. And through his agent or whatever, they probably let the Steelers know that they were unhappy. And you make a great point with Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. Kenny Pickett's been playing and starting. Those dudes sat, literally sat and watched. Can he humble himself and say, I'm going to sit behind Jalen Hurts and I'm going
to
get better?
He has to.
If he can do that, he may have a chance. But when you've been a starter and now you got to sit, you know how hard that is to be a young guy and you've been that guy. And now I got to sit and watch. First mistake that Jalen Hurts made, he's going to be thinking in his head, oh, I'm better than him. And so I'm with you. Yeah. I think it's over for Kenny Pickett. The Steelers just gave this man away. And he was supposed to be the most NFL-ready quarterback coming out of Pitt. That's what they said. So if you're the most NFL-ready quarterback and this is what you give us?
Well, I mean, I didn't hear that, right?
They didn't say that?
And that draft class at quarterbacks was pretty bad.
I think the first six quarterbacks that were taken in that draft, they're all on different teams now.
Okay, and another thing is about Kenny Pickett is, I mean, you're saying that I like to sit my quarterback, right, and learn. But it also helps out if you play, right? You always talk about this. When you play, you get the growing pains out early. I get that. I just think that he's so smart of a quarterback, and he has some talent that I think if he has to get another chance at it, right, and learn from some good players around him, and you have some dogs at wide receivers that you've never seen before. Can we talk about that?
It don't matter. He ain't getting in the game throwing to him.
You know,
so it don't matter.
That's crazy because anything can happen in this football. Everybody.
Somebody get hurt.
All the time. Yep. Knock on wood. So my thing is.
And then they going to be bad.
But no. But I'm saying seriously. So now you go from having a good offensive line, a really good running game, one of the best talented running backs we've seen in a long time, and Saquon Barkley. Then you look on the wide receivers. Oh, my gosh. So I'll just say this. Things didn't work out in Pittsburgh. You're right. You going to a better team that's ran way better. We win here. Ooh. Yeah, I mean, am I saying something crazy?
I love
the Steelers.
Philadelphia has ran way better than
I mean, last couple years they have. I mean, what am I missing here?
Okay,
we've
been in two Super Bowls in the last couple. I didn't even go there because I love Steelers. I'm going to say this, though. You want a better team, we run things a lot better over here. We're way more talent over here on offense. And if anything happens to Jalen Hurts.
Offensive line. That's not good.
We try real hard to bring our show meeting conversation onto the set today. There's a little disparity on the
It's really not. They trying to be funny.
I'm
just saying that I think you come into this type of team, right, where you don't have to do everything. And I keep saying it because I feel like in Pittsburgh, they made it as if the weakest person on this offense is a quarterback. But we're not going to act like the wide receivers are just playing so great, like they wasn't dropping balls. When they miscommunication with wide receiver routes. I've seen it all the time. I watch tape on them. The running game. We're not going to act like Najee Harris is a first rounder, but we had the benching for a third, fourth rounder, right? That did happen. So the offensive line gave up a lot of sacks too now. So it's easy to blame the quarterback because that's what it is. But I think with the Steelers, there's a lot of different things going on. I think you bring Russ in, a veteran guy, and the scene and all, it's going to be easier for him. But if you come to Philadelphia and things, and maybe Jalen Hurts gets banged up a little bit and you got to start, it's going to be an easier time for you to start on that offense with that team than with the Steelers. And that's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and I get where you're going with that. But when you look at this Pittsburgh team with what he walked into, a top 10 defense, like he has 14 wins. And all 14 of them was the defense.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, and then when you talk talent-wise, yes, paper and stats and all that, you could say Philadelphia.
What about your eyes?
Hold on. You could say Philadelphia's receivers and weapons is better. But he has guys. You have two good running backs. You have two really good wide receivers. You have a really good tight end. And you have a big-time defense. And you looked the worst out of all of them. And that's why they said we are going to get Russell Wilson. So I'm not saying he cannot look better in Philadelphia after he sits behind Jalen Hurts for
it. I agree.
But he did walk into a really good situation as a quarterback, and being a young quarterback.
And all I said is he's going to a better one. That's all I said. He's going to a better one. And he's it, right?
We'll see. We'll see. Coming up, Justin Herbert lost another playmaker. Keenan Allen was traded to the Bears. So is Jim Harbaugh making all the right moves? That's next on Speak. And don't forget, you can check us out every day on the Fox Sports Channel on SiriusXM.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jim Harbaugh is making moves here in Los Angeles. Justin Herbert's supporting cast has taken a hit this offseason. Yesterday, Keenan Allen was traded to the Bears for a fourth rounder and now joins the list of playmakers the Chargers have lost. That includes Mike Williams, Gerald Everett, and Austin Eckler. So the roster looks a little bit different. Shady.
Uh-oh.
The guy with the good hair. Oh, I guess he can cut his hair now,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, both got good hair, huh?
Short hair now.
Oh, he called it!
Is this a curse?
Yo. I was reading the Bible verse. What's the dude that cut his hair? You know, I like the Bible verses. Samson.
Yeah.
Oh, man. He's Samson. He didn't win no championship yet. Oh, my God.
He's Samson.
Yo, I'm telling you, I don't know who the girl is, but get rid of her.
I don't know if this is a picture. Just the one they had up. How should he feel about the moves that the Chargers are making?
You see that haircut? He looked pissed off. That ain't a cool haircut. That's a pissed off haircut. I mean, I would be mad, too. First, I don't want no championships. I don't want no divisions. I don't even get to the playoffs and get a win, right? With all these good players you got, and now you get rid of them? So what's he supposed to do now? If I can't win with the good guys, what am I going to do without the good guys? We're going to get some draft picks, some rookies? I don't like it. I think Harbaugh's a really, really good coach, and I never doubt what he's doing. But I am looking at it like, I'm squinting a little bit. I'm trying to think. Because they need offensive weapons. This game, I know we love talking about the defense, right? Defense is defense that. We need some offense. This ain't back in the day and all that where they had the funny face masks and the padded helmets. You need some offense. It's the reason why you're paying these quarterbacks all this money. I mean, for God's sakes, they gave Baker Mayfield $100 million because it's an offensive league. So I don't know what they're going to do. They got to get some more weapons in there for Herbert. I mean, why have a big-time quarterback with a big-time arm making all that money if you're not going to throw the ball? They brought in Greg Roman, who runs the ball extremely well. That's his DNA. But times were different. Right? I look at the Ravens. Great defense. Run the ball extremely well. They haven't gone over that hump because they need to make some plays down the field. So I don't know. We're going to find out.
I mean, I'm sure he's probably nervous. I would agree with that. But I don't know that Justin Herbert has enough equity to
How not? You got to make the most money on the team.
Yeah, but he ain't Harbaugh.
If you think that man can go up there and speak his mind.
I mean, you can speak your mind, but you got stuff you need to work on, too. I hear you.
So, wait. So you think he can't?
But you need to get in the lab as well. Don't worry about what I'm doing. That's my opinion. I don't think that he might be have a gripe, but they had the sixth best odds to win the Super Bowl in 2022. They had Derwin James, Khalil Mack. He threw for 4,700 yards. Eckler had over 1,600 scrimmage yards. They had Mike Williams. They had Keenan Allen, Josh Palmer. 10-7 record and lost to the Jags in the first round. Mm-hmm. They had the 10th best odds last year. Keenan Allen, Khalil Mack. Mack had 17 sacks. Mm-hmm. He had threw for over 3,000 yards. Eckler had over 1,000 scrimmage yards. Mm-hmm. 5-12 record, and Brandon Staley was fired after week 15. Hear your gripe. Let me handle this. Mm-hmm. I hear you, and he's probably nervous, and he probably should be. And if you're a fan, you're probably a little concerned as well. But they do have draft picks, and Harbaugh has clearly a vision. So I don't like losing big-time players. It doesn't make anyone feel comfortable. But they weren't winning with these big-time players, and Harbaugh is coming in, clearing up space, and trying to restructure the roster. But, James, Should Herbert feel nervous? Should he be mad? How should he feel about these moves that the Chargers are making?
No. He shouldn't feel no type of way. What he should do is sit back. All right. Like you said, let me handle this. Because I done been to places you ain't never been. Two NFC championships, a Super Bowl, won a national championship. I know exactly how I want to build my team. I know exactly how you are going to have success. You know why? Because every quarterback that I have coached has had success, right? And you are probably the best one that I've coached. So I got you, right? Do not worry about it. Sit back and relax. It kind of reminds me of my kids. My kids are extremely smart. They're coached really well. So my younger son play receiver, and he'll run back like, we need to do this. I got it. What you talking about? They didn't cover three. I got it. You ain't there. I got it. I know what I'm supposed to call. You know what I'm saying? So sit back, let the coach do his job, and you go out there and play the game the way you know how to play the game. You'll be just fine. I'm with Shady. You had all these weapons, and what has it got you, right? So let me do this, and let me try to get you to these playoffs to where you can have some success and win some games. But I've proven to you that I know exactly what I'm doing, and that's Coach Harbaugh. Let me continue to do that.
This is the National Football League. He should not like it, but this is par for the course of doing business. This is what the league is. When the season ended, everybody knew the Chargers had to make moves.
Right.
So when they released Mike Williams, I don't think anybody thought that Keenan Allen would be gone. Their entire offensive skill players are gone. Austin Eckler's gone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Gerald Everett is gone. Mm-hmm. Mike Williams is gone. And now Keenan Allen is gone. So in essence, when you say starting fresh and starting new, this is exactly what they're doing.
Yeah,
and so last year's first round pick, Quentin Johnson, he got to play better.
Yes, he does.
He must play better. So now we're going to either see Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, or Rome Odunze. One of those three will be drafted with the fifth pick. And so they now have a prime opportunity to play one of the best young quarterbacks in the league and put themselves on the map as a rookie. Mm-hmm. Because in essence, you're going to be the number one receiver because nobody on that team has shown that they are that. And so for Herbert, he probably shouldn't like it, but he should be excited because it's what James said. This is what Harbaugh do. He wins. He wins. And so everywhere you've been, you develop the team. You started from the basement, and you get to the penthouse. He didn't do it with the 49ers, but he got damn near close. Michigan was in the basement, and he took them to a national championship. So I'm a believer in Harbaugh. He knows what he's doing. He's going to get it done.
I just push back on, like, and I get it, because I do believe in Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. Don't get it twisted. I do believe in Harbaugh. But you don't have Kaepernick as your quarterback. You don't have Alex Smith as your – you don't have them game managers. You don't have none of them guys. You got a real-deal quarterback.
Real deal.
That teams would love to have. Yep. He's making $56 million for a reason. $56 million for a reason.
That's why they're going to draft that receiver with the fifth pick.
I love when they have a veteran in the room, right? Yeah. That's one thing I wish I would have had better. I mean, I had Brian Westbrook for just a year. But to have a veteran in the room to show you how to be a pro, to show you how to make the game easy for you, to simplify it, that's what you love as a player. And given a quarterback that hasn't had a lot of success team-wise, individually, you know what it is. He balls out. But he don't have that. So it's like, give me some players that's like, all right, that's proven, that I can trust. Because it's gonna come a time in the game, 3rd and 5, we need to have a win, right? Who am I go to? Is it a rookie we just drafted? Is it Quinn we just kind of got that's been up and down as a young guy? Like, I need a guy to have that. And even if they got rid of Mike Williams, if you'd have kept Keenan Allen, that veteran lead, that y'all could go to him whenever I need him, you have that. Because now it's like, you look at this team, and it's like they're kind of rebuilding, but they're not rebuilding, right? And then as a quarterback, bro, we drafted one of the best dudes we got. Build on that. They treat him like he's a game manager.
Yeah, but
they treat him like he is Colin Kaepernick and Alex Smith, and they're not close.
But just go off of who they brought in there, right? Let's just go off of Greg Roman.
Greg Roman.
Right?
I played with him in Buffalo. I know
Greg Roman's offense is not like, I'm going to spread you out and I need all these dudes. So I think scheme-wise and system-wise with what they do, we're going to be in certain formations. We're going to play action pass. You can find guys like that to do that. This is not going to be a four wide, three wide receiver offense, and we're going to let you drop back and throw it 35 times. We are going to ground and pound and run this football, play really good defense, and play action pass, and they have never had a passer like Justin Herbert. And he will make the dudes around him better, but if you're going off of Greg Roman, it's not like you need a bunch of big-time receivers around on that offense. It's never been like
so
that.
So it don't make sense for me then. Okay, so you bring – so first of all, it looks like Harbaugh's doing the same thing he did in Michigan. We run the ball all day, right, and protect the quarterback.
You can't do that in the National Football League. You can't do that.
What do you think they did when he was at Super Bowl with the Niners? What do you think they do?
It's a different game now.
That's what I'm getting to, yeah. Right? So he's doing the same thing. You get your old coordinator back, run the ball all day, protect the clock, and protect the quarterback. Why are you paying a guy $56 million that's already in-house? He's already there. Can't get rid of him. He's already there. And you're going to have this type of offense with him. Why? And,
yeah, he has a plan.
And another thing is, Joey Taylor, in that division, you know who's in that division. Yeah. We all know. And they ain't going to look like that the same way they did this year, offense-wise. They're not going to be struggling. They're praying the defense. They're going to get better. So now, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid going to put points up. And you're hoping to run the ball all day and to keep them off the field and play good defense.
But he has the best of both worlds because Justin Herbert can do it all.
Hopefully it works out.
I can't wait to see. Herbert can do it all. You are going to see Herbert pass this football. But I think we're putting too much on it that he needs these big name or big time wide receivers.
I do think it would be nice to have a veteran, though, because of he course. Is still a young quarterback. You are going to have mostly other young receivers, because they're going to draft a receiver likely.
You know who that vet can be? Mike Williams coming. He can still be signed because coming off.
He ain't going back. Disrespect.
Oh.
Now, I'm going to tell you this. In this day and age,
it may be disrespect.
I ain't going back.
What if you don't have another option?
Oh,
you told me yesterday.
He's coming off a torn ACL. What if you don't have another option? Then what?
I guarantee he has other options.
He may, and he may not.
And I will guarantee today, on the retirement day of Aaron Donald, that Mike Williams will not be back with the Chargers. That will not happen.
I will not say. Yeah,
that was my vet because he's familiar.
I respect it.
But do you think if I'm kind of with Shady, if Mike, it's not Mike Williams.
You have to have a vet in there.
Do you like Harbaugh's plan then?
We don't know what his plan is. You can't have a meeting room full of young guys.
Right.
You just can't do it. Like, they're going to do whatever they want to do. There's no leadership there. And as much as you think the coach, man, we ain't listening to the coaches. We're not listening to the coach. Like, you're not.
Is that a wide receiver thing?
That's a universal thing.
Are you young?
Like, these coaches, and there's a handful of coaches that really get you better. Mm-hmm. They'll teach you football. Every coach will teach you football. They don't get you better, Joy. You get better from the veterans on the team because you respect them. You've seen them on TV. So when they tell you something, that's what you was just telling me. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, right? It's just a different thing when you have a vet that you respect. They're going to have to get a vet in there because they're not listening to that coach.
I just think they have a guy at the quarterback spot that can make everybody around him better. I do. That's how I feel about Justin Herbert. And y'all could call me crazy, but I think he can make any and every last throw and put the ball wherever he wants to.
We're not disputing that.
So I don't necessarily think you need a super big-time player the way they are about to run offense. I don't.
Well,
I think they still have a lot of success with Herbert throwing the ball.
They're going to expect whoever they draft to be that big-time player. You're picking a wide receiver top five in the draft. You expect them to contribute right away. That part of it will be a big name. You are going to expect that player to contribute right away, whoever it is they take, assuming that they take a wide receiver, which it looks like they're probably going to. We're talking about how do you supplement that, because the other wide receiver is a young guy as well. Justin Herbert is also a young player, so it's just a lot of youth, and having somebody like that in the locker room, I think I got to agree.
And real quick, if you think about all y'all wide receivers, y'all know this best, but all the really good young wide receivers that have like success early, there's a veteran in that room.
And a really good quarterback.
Yep. Think about it for a second, though, right? Ja'Marr Chase. Veterans in the room.
Yeah, Tyler Boyd.
Okay, let's go to Justin Jefferson. Wide receiver in the room. I can do this for hours.
Who do you have?
Adam Thielen. Want to hear with him?
Adam Thielen.
So I can go down a list of, like, having young dudes in the room where you can, like, grow from and learn from.
It helps. It helps.
And y'all know that.
It does.
It helps when they help you.
Yeah. But what about this, though?
I don't want to talk about that.
No, and you know, we only talking about, like, the physical gifts. What about when you start trying to think?
How many vets
What I got? You know what I mean? I've been there.
Vets will tell you the wrong thing and be like, my bad. My bad. You be like,
haters.
Oh,
yeah.
And, well, hey, well,
we handled that. We
They literally would tell you the wrong thing and be like, my bad.
You got the out.
My bad.
I thought you had to, no, I said you got the end.
Yeah.
I said, give them the out move and then you got to end.
Yeah, a lot of that.
Y'all had haters. You want to name them?
No.
Okay.
I was never that guy, though. Yeah, I never did that.
I hope not. Coming up, that is not winning football. Coming up, the Cowboys have stayed relatively quiet this free agency, not like they normally do, but should their fans be frustrated? That's next on Speak. Hate. The Cowboys have had a quiet first week of free agency with their only move adding former All-Pro linebacker Eric Kendricks. And the fan base has been a little upset. So Stephen Jones talked about the front office understanding the frustrations of the fans. He said it's frustrating for us as well. No one wants it more than we want it. And I know our fans want it. And it's certainly very understanding that there's frustration until we do something about it. Okay, I'm a little confused, but maybe James can clear it up. Should Cowboys fans be frustrated with their offseason so far?
You know what? I want to tell Cowboys fans to relax, but they're like, no. Because we every time we get to the playoffs, we're going home. We ain't been to the Super Bowl in how many years?
29. We just round up to 30 because it's easier.
So you can't really tell them to relax, but relax, Cowboys fans. You don't need too much. There's no need to get into free agency and start pressing when you don't need a lot. You need linebackers. You're going to need a running back since you lost Pollard. You can get those guys in the draft. You just signed Kendricks, which will be a good fit on your defense, playing in Zimmer's defense at a very, very high level. Well, an all-pro level. So you fill that spot. You'll get another linebacker in the draft. But everything the Dallas Cowboys need, they can get it in the draft. So there's no need to press in free agency just because other people are making moves and you're looking at your team like, what are we doing? There's nothing you need to do. You needed help at linebacker. You're going to draft a running back to get some help at the running back spot. This team has a lot of talent on this football team. Might be one of the best. So I'm not worried about the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not worried about them not being super active because they have a really good roster. And what they needed to fill, they did that with Kendricks, and you're going to draft the rest of them. So relax, Cowboys fans. You are going to be all right. You're going to be in the playoffs again.
But they're always in the playoffs. I don't understand what you're saying. It's frustrating for us as well. What does that mean? Mm. Why would it be frustrating for you? Yeah. Aren't you the ones in charge?
If you don't want to be frustrated,
if you don't want to be frustrated, make moves. Players, yeah. What's you the one making the decision? So that part is incredibly confusing. That's like when somebody's trying to tell you something, you're like, to make you feel bad. What did you say? Because you're confusing me now. Because you're making it seem like it's my fault, but it's really your fault. Because you are the ones who make the decisions. I agree with you. I don't know what else they need. They have one of the best and deepest rosters in the league. They had one of the deepest rosters last year. I mean, what more could you ask for last year? But they keep doing the same thing.
They do.
It's divisional round Dallas. It's the same thing. So if I am their fans, I am frustrated because, they're always quiet in free agency. This is very Cowboys-like. They don't really go out there in free agency. They don't have a lot of money to spend in the first place. But do something. Because I do like the addition of Eric Kendricks. So they did do something. But you want to say that you're frustrated as well. You want to say that you have a lot as well. You want to say that you're spending money here. It's a good thing that we have to pay players that we drafted in Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb. Cool. But y'all do the same thing every single year. It's the same results.
Yeah.
What is the definition of insanity?
Doing the same thing, respecting different results.
I mean, they do make it to the playoffs every year. So if that is the standard, let's win the division or be in competition for the division and make it to the playoffs and then maybe make it to the divisional round if that's all you're cool with, which for many teams would be a great accomplishment. But you keep saying that you're a team that expects to play in the Super Bowl. You do the same thing every year. I don't know that I have the solution for you, but you can't sit here and tell the fan base. You can't talk about you're frustrated as well. You can't then backhand compliment yourself and say, well, it's a good thing that we are going to have to pay players that we drafted because we did well in the draft, which they have, but then also say simultaneously, we're doing everything we can to win a Super Bowl. I don't know that you are because you're not really shaking things up and you're getting the same results every single year. Yeah. But we all agree they have the same roster. So it's a pickle for me. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I like the roster they have there. So I would tell the fans, take it easy, relax. I mean, if you look at our roster right now, today, and you compare them to other teams, out of 32 teams, easily top five roster.
Easily.
As far as talent. Top three, if you ask me. And another thing is I got to save some money. In free agency, everybody gets paid. typically your best players don't really hit the free agency, right? That's why dudes be getting all this crazy money because it's a bidding war. So if you get a player you might like and you start the bidding war, that's raising the money up. Because you do have players you got to pay, right? Because the guys that signed through 2024, you got Dak Prescott, you got Zach Martin, you got CeeDee Lamb, you got Bland, and now you got to pay Michael Parsons in 2025. Michael Parsons. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot. CD also.
Who?
CD.
I said CD. Yeah. CD won't get paid because he's like that. CD's a bad mother.
Don't get 100.
Parsons, you already know what's up with him. Zach Martin is so good. You need him too. So when you ask all these questions about free agency, what about the guys we do got here already that we going to need? So if I'm Dallas, I just take a chill pill, right? Last year, they had 9 All-Pros. Let me get it straight. Last year had 9 All-Pros. That's the most in the last 15 to 16 years. Do you hear that, bro?
I hear
9 All-Pros? And we want more? Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about the real issue here.
Man, don't do it.
It ain't the roster.
Don't do it.
Oh, no, no, no. It ain't the free agency.
It
ain't the coaches. It ain't all the hype about the Cowboys. It's one position, ladies and gentlemen. And his number is number 4, and his name is Dak Prescott. That's the reason why y'all can't go past the divisional rounds. That's the reason why. And until you change that, it won't be no championships. It won't be no divisional games. It won't be no conference games. It won't be no rings and things. It won't be none of that. Don't worry about fantasy. You need to worry about the quarterback position. Because if he's still there, there ain't no winning. Ain't no rings. Ain't no confetti's dropping. It's going to be L's dropping. And it's going to be, I'll see y'all next year.
Dak,
yeah, that's the truth.
Dak, I hear him behind you, but the defense did give up close to 40 last year in the playoffs, too.
Which one? When he threw the 2 picks? Dak, which one? The pick 6 or the other pick? Which one? Which one was it? I'm sorry.
You only threw 1 pick, so you gave up 6 points.
You can't look me in my face. Come on, man. Don't be like that.
40 points.
Don't be like that. You talking to Dak? Dak's over here, too, though. Dak's over here, though.
Dak, I feel you. He be on you like that, man, but, you know.
Don't make me come over there.
Get your bread.
Don't make me come. You better turn around.
I don't know why. Why are they frustrated?
Right.
Because it's the lack of moves. It's the lack of urgency.
This is
what the Cowboys do. They do not have a lot of money. And to Shady's point, they have a lot of people they want to pay. Well, but my question is.
A lot of all pros got to pay.
Correct. But that's. What more can you do? But you have all this and you're not winning. So what is the answer?
If Cowboys,
I told you a team had 9 all pros.
You think they win a Super Bowl?
You think yes.
Or at least
if you don't win the Super Bowl, what is your reason?
9 all pros though? Not Pro Bowls, all pros.
2012 was the last year the Cowboys signed a big free agent in Brandon Carr. Mm-hmm. That was the last time.
The cornerback.
So they don't sign free agents, they sign their own guys.
You know what else they don't do?
Win.
But and it's the thing though, we have to bring Dak's cap number down. They can't give Dak Prescott an extension. Can't do that.
They
don't have to.
He gonna get that money.
This is what happens is only Baker in football in a quarterback position. I'm next, so now I go higher than this guy.
Yeah, of course.
If you're not better than him, you should not be higher than him. And this is the problem they're gonna have is. I'm not giving Dak Prescott an extension because Dak Prescott's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
But he cannot get the Cowboys where they want to go because he has yet to do it every year. And I was one that said, okay, you got to give Dak a chance.
Yeah.
You've had your chances.
Yeah.
And it can no longer be this team right here, where was the weakness? They didn't have a weakness at all. They lost to the Niners, the Cowboys looked so good, it was like, whoa. And then they played Green Bay.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, we can't keep giving this money to Dak Prescott and then 3 years later say,
TJ,
what are we going to do?
Hold on,
that's the problem.
TJ, I love you on this show. We got to bring him more back. Can I get a toast, good brother? Call him, you got some answers. I'm speaking the truth.
So what's crazy though is, is you saying they should not pay Dak Prescott?
No,
won't get paid.
No,
which is crazy.
Because you're going to be in the same position that you're in now.
He's an all-pro player. He's an all-pro player.
So is CD.
Baker Mayfield just got 100. We know what Baker Mayfield
gets
you.
Okay, let me say this.
Kirk Cousins gets you nothing neither. He just got 180.
James.
Dak Prescott is an all-pro quarterback. We talking about he not going to get paid?
No.
Then you're going to say an all-pro quarterback is the weak link?
He ain't?
No, they gave up almost 40 on defense.
Wait, hold up, because now
I wish I had glasses. I'd take them off too.
Time out. So in the last two playoff.
I'm going off of last year.
But let me finish, bro. Hold on, man. The last two playoff appearances they had, what was the reason why they lost?
The reason why they lost to the Green Bay Packers, the whole team was garbage.
If the offense for the Cowboys is putting up points, if the offense is putting up points, that game looks way closer.
If the defense stopped somebody.
He didn't throw picks all year. That's all you talked about.
Yes.
He didn't throw picks. He got in that game at home, and what did he do?
Dak played bad. The defense played bad. The whole team was garbage. They got beat down by the Packers.
And guys like you is the reason why the fans for Cowboys are fool, and this is why they always lose.
But I'm just not going to
No.
So wait, you give
Dak a contract. You Jerry Jones, you signing Dak to a contract extension.
1,000%.
60 a year?
He played at an all-pro level. I don't know what the number is. I got to look at my roster.
Hey, James don't never want to be a GM. You never don't.
Dak Prescott is a really good quarterback in this league, played at an all-pro level. I understand he's had his struggles in the playoffs, but the Green Bay Packers game was not all on Dak.
I talked to
the whole team played
garbage. I talked to James' sons. He runs his team. His sons can't stand him.
My dad always, I said, I already know. I'm working with him. I already know.
And so that's why the son coming back said, cover three. Okay.
It makes sense.
Sit back, bro. I got this. Dak Prescott about to get paid.
He has a $59.4 million cap hit.
It's staying that way.
Right now.
It is staying that way.
They can restructure it to lower it.
They're going to restructure.
The issue I have with it, James,
60 a year, Joy?
I hear you. He's an all-pro. And he played at an all-pro level last year. And I'm not even going to do it. He's just... Yeah. He's an all-pro.
Ain't going to do it.
I'm not going to do it.
Do it for the grand.
I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to upset everyone with, you know, what happened this year at the quarterback position. I'm just going to let it be. He played at an all-pro level.
He played well.
And he played well. But what is the goal of the Dallas Cowboys? I'm cool. Okay, well, that doesn't appear to be the goal. Because if you are consistently doing the same thing over and over again, and Dak Prescott, you think Dak Prescott is going to be all-pro again next year?
He got a chance.
That's not what I asked you.
Thank you, Shady.
It's too many better quarterbacks, I think, than Dak.
Yes,
so no.
You don't think he's going to be all-pro next year.
It took years to get one of them.
I don't think he's going to be all-pro next year. I think Dak Prescott is a really good quarterback, and I think if you hit the market, someone would pay him a lot of money.
A lot of money.
But I don't think that means that team is then in position to win a Super Bowl. Mm. I think that the Atlanta Falcons just played at quarterback a lot of money. I don't think the Falcons are winning the Super Bowl this year. I think they're in a better position now that they have Kirk Cousins than before they had Kirk Cousins.
Don't you think the Cowboys would love to pay Dak what the Falcons just paid Kirk Cousins? They love that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a
complete... Dak wouldn't take that. That's the problem.
Why would you, though?
Why? If you're Dak? I don't know who's giving Dak $60 million a year.
But my dog over here has been all pro. Right?
A couple of times.
All decade team and all that. So if a dude that got 180 and ain't did all pros and stuff like you getting around what they getting, if people think you sorry?
I'm not a quarterback, though, bro.
It don't matter. I'm just talking about any position.
And Jory brought up Kirk Cousins. I will say this, though. If they win that division, that's a stepping stone for that franchise.
Yeah. Kurt won divisions before, though.
I'm going to say it again. If they win that division for the Atlanta Falcons, that's a stepping stone. Like, we're in the right direction. With a young team, they're happy about that. And the money they paid them, they're happy about giving the money they paid them. If Dak Prescott wins a division, they're like, we did this before.
You did it before.
If Dak Prescott wins one playoff game, we did this before. They not paying him for that.
No,
James
not.
Jones?
I agree with you on that.
Come on, man.
But he can get it done.
You sipping on that cowboy juice. Got your mind going crazy.
Where are you going, Shady McCoy, if you say Dak Prescott walk? Where are you going? What you going to do to get you back to winning a division? What are you going to do?
It's the NFL.
It don't matter. We not winning a Super Bowl.
You're not winning a Super Bowl because you ain't got no plan after him.
But if you're not winning, when you're the Cowboys, you don't play to get in the playoffs. You play to win the Super Bowl.
The reality is the Cowboys absolutely play to get in the playoffs.
Their ultimate goal is
to
win the division and get in the playoffs. And then once you get in the playoffs, you try to win the Super Bowl.
Not if you're consistently in the playoffs and winning the division. Like, the idea is to level up.
If the Falcons win the division right now, that is a great step in the right direction.
They weren't even trying to win the past couple years. If they win the division this year, that's worth the money. That will be talked about. It's a great step in the right direction. It's development for the franchise. If you're doing the same thing every single year, if you're getting paid more money, which he deserves. Yeah. I'm not saying Dak Prescott doesn't deserve that. You played at an all-pro level. You deserve to get paid. Yeah. But I'm saying for the Cowboys specifically, if it's always this, we're in the Super Bowl. We're going for the Super Bowl. Y'all, I don't even like talking about the Super Bowl with the Cowboys. Worry about getting to the NFC Championship game. Y'all don't need to worry about the Super Bowl yet. It's not for you. Worry about that later.
So can I ask y'all a question real quick?
Does it matter about winning the Super Bowls or just getting there?
They don't even get to the NFC Championship
game. But I'm just saying, so
I just want to see him get there. I just want to see him get
because there. Because I think we would still be having the same conversation if he got there and lost a couple times.
No, we won't.
To the NFC Championship game?
Bro, it's been 30 years since they've been to the NFC Championship
I understand
game.
What you're saying.
Do you?
And Dak ain't been there 30 years, so it's been a lot of bad stuff going on in Dallas.
What I'm saying, it's been so long.
I know.
This is America's team
but
we're talking
Dak
about.
Been 8-9 years. 30 years ain't got nothing to do
I
with
I agree
Dak.
With that. Because I think there's other reasons
if
for that.
If Dak didn't have the contract that he has, this wouldn't be much of a discussion.
What
like,
you mean? He's still got the contract he has, and they got 9 All-Pros. This is one of the best rosters.
So he is by far and away the highest-paid player on that team. Lead us. Lead us.
Let me ask you before we leave, though. See, this is why I y'all think I hate on Dak, and I don't. If you give a guy like Joe Burrow that Cowboy, you know what happens. They're going to at least get there. If you give Josh Allen that roster, that team, they're going to at least get there. I can go down the line. Even a guy like Jordan Love. You giving him, you see what I'm saying?
We're giving dudes credit for losing. We are.
I'm done talking about it.
We're giving dudes credit over Dak Prescott for losing these games.
But Dak doesn't get there to have the opportunity to lose.
Got 9 all pros.
You got nine all pros,
and you can't freaking get to the conference game? You kidding me right now,
so
James?
So the whole
Jones?
Reason why they lost to the Green Bay Packers last year is because of Dak Prescott. That's
I don't think it's the whole reason.
But when
you had the year before that, and then you had the year before that, that you could very easily put at Dak Prescott's feet, it does compound.
Go from all pro to freaking
Coming
choking
up,
the game up.
I'm going to give out some flowers and make it a little more positive around here. Friday Flowers is coming up next. Let's speak.
Now, don't go up there and do a Dak Prescott. I'm going to talk about it later.
Welcome back to Speak. It's time for Friday Flowers, so let's send some flowers out into the world. First up, Prime. We love Prime around here, and the Prime effect is real in Colorado. The application numbers this year reflect it. Deion Sanders' Buffaloes changed the landscape of college football last year, and now they're starting to reap the rewards. This year, the University of Colorado at Boulder has received a record number of applications, including a more than 50% increase in Black student applicants. There is no one like Coach Prime, and the nation knows it. So congrats to the Colorado Buffaloes. The National Women's Soccer League season kicks off this weekend with a major first. Saturday's season opener will be played in the first professional stadium built for women's soccer. Until this season, the Kansas City Current shared a stadium with the MLS club Sporting Kansas City, and now the Current will host the Portland Thorns in a stadium all their own. So shout out to Brittany and Patrick Mahomes. They are part ownership owners, along with Angie Long, who said this today about the opening of CPKC Stadium, saying, quote, "We are the first and we won't be the last. It's Women's Month, and that's the energy I want to see around women's sports all year. We love to see it." And finally, the NCAA tournament kicks off next week with women's and men's national champions being crowned in early April. In the meantime, there's some conference champions who deserve some flowers for punching their ticket to the tourney. On the men's side, Stetson won the Atlantic Sun Conference and is going dancing for the first time ever. On the women's side, both Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, and Presbyterian punched their tickets to the dance for the very first time in the history of those programs. That's what college sports is all about. Very excited for the tournament. Flowers to all the programs who have made it and already and who will get their invites on Selection Sunday. That is Friday Flowers. And coming up, the back-to-back Super Bowl champion Chiefs are signing Hollywood Brown. We'll tell you what that means for Patrick Mahomes and their chances at a three-peat. That's next on Speak.
Shade, I know it's a little Mahomes magic.
Wait, you like magic? Brother, can I see you for a second? Can you do some magic?
Oh.
They left? Oh! I almost set them. Oh! Hey, my man.
The magician made James Jones disappear.
Ace of hearts. When Mahomes does the QB draw straight through the defense.
Come on, bro. America, that is not acting. That was not playing. This brother looked like Patrick Mahomes. He really did that. Oh, there's good. And they gonna bring it back?
Dang, yo. Wow.
He said, wow.
There will be more magic throughout the show.
James was out of there. The Chiefs are back-to-back Super Bowl champs. And they just added another piece, and Patrick Mahomes now has a new weapon in Hollywood Brown to help bolster a unit that led the league in drops last season. He clearly approves. Hollywood Brown said, blessed beyond measures, Chief Kingdom, let's rock. And Mahomes gave him the muscles. Mm. Let's go.
They doing it again. They are doing it again.
This isn't really too surprising that they made a move at that position, considering how things went. They did lead the league in drops this year. I love this move, though. I think it's interesting. We had Andy Reid on, and he talked about what some of the issues were this year, why it was kind of hard to get Travis Kelce going early in the season. Let's listen to Coach Reid for a second and talk about
it. Big Reid, let's hear it.
We've always had that guy opposite him that can kind of work inside those numbers. Well, that's kind of the quarterback sweet spot. James doesn't know anything about it, but inside the numbers there in that sweet spot there. Maybe they're not the fastest guy, but they know how to play the game in there. And that is so important. It's very important for Kelce's position and what we do with him.
James, how does Hollywood Brown affect what the Chiefs do, and specifically what Andy Reid was talking about?
Oh, Coach Reid is something else, because he's right.
Coach's
memories are phenomenal, right? Because what he's talking about is really what TJ used to do. I didn't do that. Put me on the outside like Hollywood Brown, let me go to work. TJ used to go to work in the slot, be able to work in between them hashes and all that. And that's what he's talking about. Once Rashid Rice stepped in and was that other guy on the other side in the slot being able to run the whole route tree, that opened up things for Travis Kelce. Now you get a consistent guy in Hollywood Brown who can take the top off the defense, but not only that, run the whole route tree. To be honest with you, I love this move. I think for Hollywood Brown, this is a match made in heaven. He has not got his huge payday yet, right? I trained Hollywood Brown out in Arizona, and the kid has everything. He can run routes. He has the speed to take the top off the defense. When we watched the Kansas City Chiefs last year, it was real inconsistent play on the shot plays down the field. It wasn't a lot of explosive plays for the Kansas City Chiefs offense. Now you get a guy to come in there in Hollywood Brown who can really do it all, but what he's special at is running and taking the top off the defense is only going to help Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce, and Patrick Mahomes. This is excellent right here by Andy Reid, getting this guy in there, Hollywood Brown, for Patrick Mahomes. He is going to get a huge payday from benefiting off of playing with Patrick Mahomes, because Patty Mahomes is one of those dudes that you love to play with because you are never covered. Even if the DB is right there, Patty putting the ball right there, you're never covered. Hollywood Brown's going to have a heck of a year. I'm excited to see him play out there in Kansas City.
You ready to go play for the Chiefs?
Yeah, he said he needs somebody in the middle of the field. I can still do that right now. Like, I like it. Y'all love it, but I like it. I don't love it the way you guys do. I think Hollywood is a really – really good player, gives them that deep threat. But the Chiefs are still searching for that Tyreek Hill explosiveness. Like, when Tyreek Hill was on the Chiefs, it was like Mike Tyson before he lost to Buster Douglas. Everybody was scared. And so that's what they're still searching for. And Hollywood Brown isn't that player. He doesn't have the speed, the quickness, the suddenness. But can he get down the field and stretch the defense? Yeah. But when you look at it, it's like, 0 50-yard touchdown receptions the last three seasons. Zero. And just, oh, the quarterback. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't get one? You just deep three. Just give me one. And so it's going to help him. It's not going to be the impact, at least for me, that many believed it. I didn't think the Chiefs would win the Super Bowl once Tyreek Hill left, so shows you what I know. anybody playing with Patrick Mahomes is going to play well. He will do.
And Andy Reid.
He will do his job and show out, but it's not going to be, at least for me, not what they had with Tyreek Hill.
Well, I mean, Tyreek Hill is one of one. He's one of the rarest, most unique players that we've ever seen in the history of the league. He's one of the best players in the league and probably the best receiver in the league, even though we don't necessarily want to give him that credit because he plays the game in such a unique way. He's so valuable. But we were all wrong. I mean, we all talked about what the offense was going to look like without Tyreek Hill. And we talked about what the offense was going to do all season long with the way that they were struggling, and they still won another Super Bowl. Right. So I love it because I knew they were going to make some kind of move. They had to make some kind of move. You have the most drops in the league. That's a position group that you have to have some improvements.
Why would somebody sign Hollywood so he couldn't go to the Chiefs? Like, why wouldn't you do that to prevent him from getting him?
Now, you said that we love it, but you just like it.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it, man. That's Andy Reid being Andy Reid. See, the thing is, you talked about the quarterbacks. I ain't say worried about the quarterbacks, because we know we got Patrick Mahomes. It ain't him. It's Andy Reid. He gonna dice this thing up for him. Yep. See, you saying they searching for Tyreek Hill? They're not. When I was over there, I said there's no way that Andy Reid can win a Super Bowl without a deep threat like a DeSean Jackson or like a Tyreek Hill. I was wrong too. That's how smart and good of a coach he is, right? You talk about the Super Bowl against the Eagles. I watched this guy score touchdowns uncontested for the defense. That ain't Patrick Mahomes, it's Andy Reid. Now, when we need some plays, Patrick Mahomes might run it a little bit, might find an extra little lane, because that's Patrick Mahomes. So what I'm saying is, when you get a dude like Hollywood Brown, he had 1,000 yards with the Ravens with Lamar Jackson, right? That's with Lamar Jackson. Now you get Patrick Mahomes? Okay, check that. You had 1,000 yards with the Ravens with under Greg Roman.
Roman.
Cool coordinator, runs the ball more. Now you got Andy Reid? So I watched this team lose Tyreek Hill, and they get Juju Schuster, right? Cool, he's okay. They had over, 1,400 yards, 1,300 yards? That's what he had. Andy Reid is so smart, and he's engaged with his players. He's going to dice it up for him. And Hollywood Brown's going to look way different. Yeah. I got a diagram I want to show, though. It was on Instagram, or no, a text. Can we show it real quick? It's just showing you who Andy Reid really is. When I was going there, he told me, I'm going to make you a star again. That's how he talks.
That's what he told you?
And if you see it, it says, Hollywood, think red today. KC red with diamonds, Andy Reid. He put a smiley face in his big smiley face, his big red. He says, yes, sir. I love the sound of that. He put a heart and a ring because he knows what's about to come next. Then he says, think of Hollywood Brown. Lights, camera, action.
Yeah.
So they already know what's about to happen, right? You come into a place where you already get in love. You had 3 down years and you decide to come get me? Why a little old me? That shows you the belief. You get in there, Andy Reid, man, you start feeling like you're a family. Yeah. You see a lot of different coaches that had a lot of success. Bill Belichick, everybody says how great he is. Well, most people, they used to say how great he was. You never hear a lot of great things about him. You can't find me a player to talk bad about Andy Reid. So off the field, I love this dude, and you know what he does on the field. Hollywood Brown will have a great year this year.
No doubt.
And then, a lot of touchdowns, a lot of 50, 50 yards, didn't get in the year.
Zero on
you
the
a lot of them.
And not you only that, you just, when you talk perfect match, you're not walking into the building saying, I got to be that number one option. You're walking into the building, just another piece of that puzzle. And Andy,
so how does it play out in the passing game then with Travis Kelce, Rasheed Rice, and Hollywood Brown?
Oh,
so Reese. No. Right. So Rice is gonna do all the intermediate routes, right? All the route trees, and then Hollywood's gonna be the special one, the go routes. I'm gonna be setting everything up. I'm gonna be like sometimes a decoy, sometimes a deep route, and then Travis Kelce, you gotta double him, don't you?
But see, I think that's the thing.
And then you got Pacheco running hard, just mean, eyes closed.
But that's the thing.
Man.
But that's the thing. People,
I'll put my bet in right now, James Jones.
That's the thing people don't understand
what
about
you
Hollywood.
Chiefs, Eagles, Super Bowl, back again.
I've been around Hollywood, like I say, training Hollywood. The boy can run routes. Like, it's not like he had 1,000 in Greg Roman offense and we like, oh, man, he got 50 yard here, 80.
Yeah.
The boy can run routes. So Andy Reid is going to see him and be like, ooh. You have that to you? So it's such a perfect
And they've been missing that.
If you're asking me, Rasheed Rice is going to go to a whole nother level in year two. We all know receivers, once that year two come, you're like, oh, the game getting a little slower now. You know what I mean? A lot of stuff go on your rookie year. It's going to slow down for him. 3,000-yard receivers. This Chiefs offense is going to be crazy. Hollywood Brown is going to have a heck of a year. And like I say, I don't know how long he's going to be with the Chiefs, but I think this is going to be one of them years to get him paid.
Pat, 5,000 yards, too. I'm putting all these bets in. 5,000 yards. Eagles, Chiefs.
5,000?
Coming up, yeah. Derrick Henry is officially a Baltimore Raven. But how much will he be able to help Lamar Jackson win a Super Bowl? That's next on Speak.
Derrick Henry, 1,400 yards.
Ready. Derrick Henry was introduced by the Ravens yesterday. The 4-time Pro Bowler finished with over 1,000 yards rushing and had double-digit touchdowns the last 2 seasons. He did turn 30 in January. Yesterday, Henry was asked to respond to critics who think his best days are behind him. Let's take a listen.
People are always going to have something to say, always going to have opinions. I'm just here ready to work, ready to get things started, and do my best to help this organization.
TJ, how much do you think Derrick Henry will help the Ravens?
He'll help them tremendously. And let's never average under 4 yards a carry in any season. He's played 8 seasons in the league. But this is where he's going to help them. You go to the playoff game where the Baltimore Ravens lost to the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Running backs carry the ball 6 times. Mm. just because his name is Derrick Henry, the offensive coordinator will never do that. So just off of who he is and what he's accomplished, he's going to help him because they won't abandon the run because of the respect factor that the coaches have for him. Oh, we got to make sure he's getting the ball. And so that's where he's going to help him. On the field, what he's done, as many carries as he had, until he slows down, you can't say, oh, he's going to slow down. But he's going to help the coaches and force them to stick to the run when they abandon it too soon.
I really love it for the Ravens. I love it for Lamar Jackson. I mean, that's somebody that you can rely on. Obviously, they've had a different variations of running back, but he's never had somebody like Derrick Henry.
Nah.
Never.
And he's an explosive home run type of running back. He's somebody you could give the ball to and scores like a wide receiver scores.
In
like
that division.
And nobody stop him. And yes, in that division, in the AFC North, you obviously want to have a strong established run game, but they have Lamar Jackson, who is a dual threat quarterback. Well, now you have a legitimate bona fide running back, every down back, somebody that needs the ball to get going. I think it's a great situation for their offense, and I love that they actually went and made this move for him. We were very critical of the Ravens for the past couple years that they had never really given Lamar Jackson the help that he truly deserved as a franchise quarterback in the league. They gave him the wide receivers last year, now they're giving him Derrick Henry. Obviously, it paid off. They made it to the AFC Championship game for the first time in Lamar's career, and he won his second MVP. So I think this is a very exciting move. I'm a big fan of Derrick Henry. I love the way that he runs the ball. He's just an exciting player to watch. He's a very unique running back, but he is pretty unstoppable once he gets going. I would not want to be the one in front of him. But Shady, how much do you like this move for the Ravens?
I love it. I mean, this is his game, right? The Ravens are one of the closest, I guess, teams to the old school running style. We're going to run this ball, right? And then you take a guy like Lamar Jackson, where he has all the pressure to do everything, MVP, this, that, and the third. Now you get a guy like Derrick Henry that's going to take a lot of that pressure off me. Talk about controlling a game. The Steelers and the Ravens for so long has been that team. We don't control the clock, right? Good defense. That's what they are for real now. Now you got that defense. Then you got Lamar Jackson. Then your running back is Derrick Henry. It's like a video game, right? Think about that for a second, though. He gonna get 20-some carries a game, and every defense is going to feel it. And now you got Lamar Jackson. It's going to be times where when they do the re-option, they're going to say, you know what? Hey, look.
Yeah.
Let Lamar keep it, bro. We don't want Derrick Henry leaning on us the whole game, leaning on us. And he's the best at, talk about the age of the running backs. I don't think it matters for him because he's been great at being durable. Getting the ball a lot and getting better as the game's going on, that's who Derrick Henry is. He's still the king, and they're going to have a nice offense going on with him there.
Yeah, sure. This is another perfect match. We just talked Hollywood and Patty. You talk Lamar and King Henry, it's another perfect match. Ever since Lamar Jackson has came into the National Football League, getting off the bus, defenses say, where's number eight? In the pass game, in the run game, we have to stop number eight. Spy on them right when we get off the bus. You know you are spying on them. What are you going to do now? Because now if that defensive end does not come out to come down to tackle Derrick Henry and let Lamar get outside the pocket, Lamar going to keep it. If the defensive end stays out there and he handed off to... It's a light box. Derrick Henry has played with Ryan Tannehill, Will Levis, Malik Willis at the quarterback spot. Who you stopping getting off the bus? Derrick Henry is 8-9 people in the box sometimes in Tennessee, and they still running it. They still running it. So when you put these two in the backfield together, I don't know what you do. You are going to have to pick your poison. Do we want to leave five in the box? We got to keep a spy on Lamar Jackson? Or do we want to just say, like Shady said, hey, man, let him keep it to see what he does because we got to tackle Derrick Henry? This is a perfect match. If they use him the right way, this is a perfect match for the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson. And I agree with TJ. You heard the offensive coordinator say in the playoff game, I wanted the ball in my quarterback's hands. That's because you're looking at Gus. You're looking at a lot of guys that don't have a big name. When you're looking on your call sheet and it say King Henry, because hopefully you put that on there, not 22, King Henry, you know you can hand the ball off because he is going to make something happen. It's a different element, and paired with Lamar Jackson, it's going to be hard for people to stop them.
Can't wait to see it. Coming up, there's been a lot of big name players, including King Henry, on the move. And we are going to tell you who ended up in the best situation. That's next on Speak.
McCoy's available, ladies and gentlemen.
What's up, family? Welcome to Speak. NFL free agency frenzy. It is crazy. sports television literally made for today.
Congrats again, Kirk. Continues to play the game.
Absolutely.
Run me my money, honey, as he always does, and he's going to get it. You're going to give it to him.
Schultz, I saw you just get a text. Is there any breaking news you want to break real quick?
If that was Brian Burns getting traded to the Giants, which, by the way, I think is possible, we're going to rock with Speak right now.
When you think about somebody saying something like this, does it make any sense to you?
Sankey.
Shut up.
This is an unserious conversation from the Nonsense Farm.
Where is Nonsense Farm at?
Only in America that you could be an average or above average player and get $100 million.
Who that?
Baker Mayfield. Yo, he had no ski mask. He paid the dude.
I love this show.
New faces, new places, a lot of movement in the NFL this week. A lot of guys making a lot of money. Some people maybe making more money than they will end up actually needing to earn. I think Hollywood ended up in the best situation. Shady, who do you think ended up in the best
situation? I like the Hollywood. I'm going to go with Saquon. Go from the trash team to one of the best teams. Bad quarterback to a really good quarterback. You tell me.
DJ.
Oh, he said 36 years old when the season starts, torn Achilles, $180 million. Kirk Cousins.
Money.
Show me the money.
I'm rocking with you, Joy. Hollywood, I'm telling you.
Oh.
He is going to get in that huddle, and Patty going to throw him that first pass. He's going to say, God is good.
All the time.
Patty is like
all
that.
All the time.
Hollywood will have a big
time.
Great
situation. That's it for us. Race Hub is next. We'll catch you next week. Thanks for joining us.